Hallelujah. You know, we've been looking at one desire. Someone say one desire. On Wednesday, we looked at one desire. What is that one desire that the Lord Jesus Christ has? What is that one desire? You know? And in the first service, we said that in Luke 10, 38 and 39, Jesus, referring to Martha, said, "Martha, Martha, why are you troubled? Thou hast troubled about many things." And I shared that in the first service, that some of us, we can do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. Can you remember that? In the first service. And I mentioned that, you know, it's just like you, how many of you have done an exam before, and you answered the wrong question. And you did it very well. You thought they were asking about, I don't know what course you studied. For example, if you studied law like I did, and they asked you a question about maybe in the Evidence Act, they wanted you to talk about documentary evidence, and in your mind you thought it was oral evidence, and you knew oral evidence so well, and you wrote 20 pages. Say, more paper, more sheets. And you were answering the wrong question. They come from up, there are some guys like that. When you are told you, they're going to say more shit. You feel like, what kind of human being is this one? You get it? Or the exam, you leave the exam, or some guys are still writing. Say, what? Doesn't mean they will pass, though. You know, and some guys think that passing an exam is leaving first, going out first. My dad told me that it's a mark of stupidity. I said, why? He said, they gave you 3 hours. He said, why can't you just stay and read through what you wrote? You could add some things to it. Think he's shining. I dropped my hair. I left them 1 hour before the end. Hallelujah. It's just like maybe you played a football game and by first half we were 4-0 up. He said, there's no need playing the second half. And you walked away because you had 4 goals. So you can ask the question well, but that was not the question. I would say, the saddest thing a Christian can have is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. Who sent you? Then we also looked at the primary things and the secondary things. Some things are secondary. They are important, okay? For example, if you're in the music team and you go for all the practices, all the rehearsals, metasals, and you do all the things there, but you don't have a prayer life. And you sing very well. You know, you don't have to pray to sing well. Abby? You know what I mean? And you sing very well. Are you a good usher? That when you usher people like you, they don't want to leave the service. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, you see, at the gate, you're welcome to this wonderful service. Man, I like to come to that because of that usher. But then, Jesus did not come to the world so that you'll be an usher. As good as ushering is. We said, what is that one desire? Jesus had just a single purpose. Said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. So, praying about the will of God in your life. I'm praying about the will of God. Lord, I want to know your will. Is selfishness or confusion? His will is so clear. Hallelujah. So, you're calling me one time and say, I don't know what country it was again. He said, sir, I just wonder whether it is good for me to go on evangelism. I said, it's bad. You know, that's a stupid question. That's the will of God. Praise God. So really, what one desire is the salvation of souls. Remember? And we went through the book of Acts. Remember we do that in the first service? We were around. We said, every chapter from the book of Acts, particularly Acts 2, till Acts 21, when Paul was arrested, virtually every chapter had evidences of the preaching of the gospel. And we said, remember, that in the four gospels, there was more about Jesus preaching than healing the sick. In the book of Acts, there was more words committed to preaching the gospel and people believing the gospel than demonstrations of the Spirit. As important as demonstrations of the Spirit are, they happen so that they can equip you and I, enable us, edify us, strengthen us to do God's will in the earth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Some people assume that the minute they become pastors, they don't have to preach the gospel. A fellow told me like in university, he said, he just discovered his passion is not to preach to the lost. That you know your gift with your passion. That I just discovered that my passion is not my passion, but to teach. To teach people's children or people's disciples. Thief. He said he likes, that's his passion. Passion. I said you have a wrong passion. You have a wrong passion. Your passion for teaching should be built on your passion for preaching to the unsaved. So one desire. So say one desire. This is a desire that is not unique to anybody. So that guy, that brother, he has a burden for souls. What about you? No, but that brother has a unique burden for souls. You know, we celebrate some stupidity at times. Say, I like that brother. Say what? He is prayerful. What about you? That brother is, he's giving to prayer. What about you? You are taking from it. That brother is giving to evangelism. What about you? Then we can say, that sister is spiritual. What about you? Kana? So that desire ought to be shared by every believer. So I say one desire. One desire. Let me ask you. Do you know how to share the gospel with the unsaved? You know, you sit down. Some people know how to give out invitation letters. Sorry. What do you call it? Flyer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I want to invite you to my church. My pastor is a great man of God. See his picture. And see the testimonies our church has been. Last week, this woman, she came in Okada. This week, she came with a car. This brother used to wear t-shirt. I know him personally. But now, see what he's wearing now. What? Robes. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he says, come and see our church. My pastor. See how he dresses. Come to our church. You know, we're skilled at that. Do you know how to preach to your own faith? You sit down. How do you start a conversation to preach the gospel? So I say, I don't know. No, not that you don't know. You don't want to know. But you know how to invite somebody for your birthday. My birthday is going to take place as so and so. You know how, some of you know how to invite people for burial. And then you send text. See? For the women, green. So the reason why you don't preach is because you don't have the passion. You know how to talk to people. Is that not true? You know how to talk to people. But you don't have the passion. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, I think it's a grace. No, it's disgrace. There's no grace to it. And there's no experience. I'll show you in the first service. The people that just received Christ, they preach Christ. Hallelujah. So I say one desire. And that's the reason for the local church. The local church, the minute that is not the focal point of the local church, you lost it. Every other thing remains secondary. If your local church does not inspire you to reach the unseen, that is, what you hear in the service burns in you so much that when you see a sinner, you want to talk to him about Christ. There's something wrong somewhere. Remember what I said earlier. You can do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. Like answering the wrong question in an exam. And you did it so well. You gave the formula and that was not the question. What is the will of God on earth? It's not national transformation. Nigeria, God wants Nigeria to be changed. God wants, and we are praying, God wants Nigeria to, where scripture do we have? He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Is this Jerusalem? Jesus lived in a time of tyranny. You know that? Where they were under rulership of Rome. And he didn't say, guys, it's time. It's time. We can't take it. How can somebody just come to a nation and to dominate it? So we're going out tomorrow. Everybody, Peter, you carry placard. Just, there's just one desire. Hallelujah. To preach Christ to everybody. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And that's a desire that overwhelms any kind of other desire. Look at today now. We're praying. I know some of you will have been bored. And say, let us pray that the word of God will go and have a free course. Free course. Free course. But they said, now, everything standing against your success. Hey! One grace will take over you. Take you over. It's time to move. Say, look at it. Say to Zerubbabel. I was saying this in the first service. That is as though the ticket to be a Pentecostal is not how to quote the Bible wrongly. You want to be? Just take one verse. Say, that what that verse means to be. Say, the Red Sea is my business. Oh, sorry. My competitors in my office. Search point. What's the road? Your Rema. Hallelujah. So please, Pharaoh, you're empty. Hallelujah. There's just one message in the Old Testament. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Is that your desire? Hallelujah. Is that your desire today? So I'm going to share three things with us. Praise the Lord. No, I won't take time. Praise the Lord. Three things that you have to do. How many of you have believed the gospel? Raise your hand. You believe the gospel? Good. So if you have believed the gospel, you have three responsibilities. Number one, you have a responsibility to preach the faith. That's the first and the most important anyway, is to preach the faith. To share the gospel. To preach it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18 now says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us what? Now, if you like 17, if you're a new creature in 17, don't change the us in 18. Right? He has given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. To which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now let me tell you something. You have a responsibility to preach the faith, whether the person will be in your church or not. I'll give you an example. You know in the book of Acts, Philip met the Enoch. And then he preached Christ to him. And as he was through, Philip left the scene. No room to say, now we meet every Sunday at 8 a.m. for service. Seven service. What's most important was for that fellow to accept the gospel. You know, sometimes when you go for evangelism and you might meet someone who has a sticker on his Bible, you are discouraged. Oh, you are a Christian. Say, ah, we are Christians. And then you walk away. Are you sure? Hallelujah. You are not sure. You meet someone say, well, I'm a member of Saints Community. So we thank God for your life. So don't let me waste my time with you. No. You have a responsibility to yet preach the faith. Recall, in the book of Acts, like I showed you earlier, all the sermons in the book of Acts were evangelistic sermons. All of them. And all of them today qualify as teaching meetings. There's nothing in the sermons that we cannot teach today. Am I correct? They are not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you know about Jesus? You have to know about him. Do you know something? He died for your sins. Do you agree? Okay. He was raised. Do you agree? And he can make your life better from now. Say, do you agree? I agree. Say after me. Quickly. I believe in my heart. Jesus Christ, he died for me. Say after me. Say, I believe. Say, I believe. Me, I've already believed. Say, I believe in my heart. I confess. Yes. I'm not born again. Thank you, Father. Receive me to your family in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you're a Christian, okay? So, I'm going to give you my church card. Now, you have to call me because now you're... Why are you in a hurry? Hallelujah. You spend time. Share it. Explain it. Preaching the gospel involves teaching. Explain it. Peter did not just say, men and brethren, you know you are all sinners. See, I mean, I know the club you belong to. He took time. He went from scripture to scripture. Paul in Berea. He met unsaved people and they had enough scriptures to go and check. Then you say, let me tell you a story. There was one boy who left home. And when he went to a swimming pool. And that swimming pool, he thought he could swim. He got to that swimming pool. And as he was drowning, a man came and he lifted him up. That man is Jesus. The pool is sung. You are that boy. Are you ready to accept? What kind of gospel is this? The Bible says faith will only come when Christ is preached. Hallelujah. Are you still there? You share. Number one, you have a duty to preach the faith. The faith is what you have believed. You have a duty and responsibility to preach the faith. To announce it. Glory to God. Are you there? You have a duty. Imagine someone that says, well, I'm a Muslim. You lose your confidence. See, well, you just see, it's the same God, but different songs. No. You share. You preach faith. You preach Christ. Even though I'm an atheist, it makes it lovely. You know why we preach? We preach because the gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God. You don't need to add anything to it. I have confidence in the gospel. Say with me, I have confidence in the gospel. That's why Paul won't go to a place and say, before I go and preach in this place, go and do research for me. What do they like? What do they like? In that area, they like buns. So we'll first of all take buns to them. So as they're eating the buns, we'll say, now that buns you are eating is eternal life. Or you go and check, what is their challenge in that area? I say, well, they fornicate. So you present a fornicating message. No, Paul says, when I came to you, I determined not to know anything. There was no historical check. Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. You have a duty. Men in scripture, pay attention now, who just believe the gospel. Men who just believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The 12. Matthias inclusive. They just believed. They didn't go to second work of, membership class. They were not in study groups. So you know what, before you, he sent them out to preach immediately. There's no other qualification than to be born again. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I said? You have a duty, number one, to preach the faith. It's a duty to preach it. Do you share it in your office? Do you share it at home? Do you share it with your friends? Or on your campus? Number one, preach the faith. We've been talking about that. Number two, hear this well. Protect and defend the faith. You have a duty to defend the faith. To defend the gospel of Christ. Turn your Bibles quickly to Galatians 1. You have a duty. It's not good enough to just believe, which is the best anyway. It's not just to believe. That's just not only to believe. That's the right word. But you have a duty. There was a time I went to Zimbabwe. And I was sharing with, I preached for another church. So I now met this pastor. A church. And it had been there for a long time. And then he said, Jesus Christ, yes, he is the greatest of the gods of this land. Now that looks like a statement that you could say, well, I understand what he's saying. No, I now listened very well to what he was saying. He saw Jesus as one of their deities. And he pastored a church. There are those who believe that Jesus is just like Muhammad. In fact, somebody was telling me one time, he said, I can preach Jesus to you from the Quran. He said, he's Prophet Isa. I said, I know about Prophet Isa, but that's not Jesus. Hallelujah. That's not Jesus. Jesus is found in the written word. Are you there? So, you have a duty to protect the faith, to defend it. Because if you don't, look at Galatians 1. Look at Galatians 1 quickly. This is Paul writing, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Pay attention. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that will pervert the gospel of Christ. Notice what he's saying. He said there be some who trouble you. They will pervert the gospel. To change its meaning. Now look at Paul. He says, though we are an angel from heaven. If you have said an angel, maybe he talked from hell. It's also from heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed. Now, he's not cursing someone. The word accursed means separated. In other words, do not relate with him. Are you following that? Follow this. As we said therefore, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. This is a very vital text of scripture. If I please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So Paul again is warning believers about those who bring another gospel. It looks like the gospel. It sounds like that would mean that it will be preached from the scriptures. He says, you see, they trouble you to pervert the gospel. Now, he began to tell us the story of himself and all that. Look at chapter 2. Verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. But privately to them there were reputation, lest by any means I should run and I'd run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, pay attention to this, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may what? They may what? So is it possible for a believer to be in bondage? Yep. If he believes another gospel. Look at verse 5. Let's take verse 5 together. To whom? Oh, come on. To whom what? By subjection. No! Not for an hour. Hallelujah. Not for an hour. There was no meeting point. There was no club about this. Why? That the truth, hallelujah, of the gospel might continue with you. He said, look, we didn't give them a room, not a minute, so that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So, pay attention. If I preach the faith, and somebody has believed the faith, which I call my disciple, what other duty do I have? I must defend the faith. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look at this. Verse 6. But of this will seem to be somewhat. Whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they will seem to be somewhat in conference, added nothing to me. In other words, when it comes to the defense of the gospel, there is no respect of persons. Including myself. There is no respect. There's nobody say, well, you know, this man is older than me. Some things people preach as honor in Nigeria is Africanism, is not biblical. Any honor that dishonors the written word is loyalty to men, not to God. Are you following what I'm saying? Is loyalty to men and not to God. That's why as a child of God, you must never exalt anybody above the written word. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why when Paul started, he said, even we. So, a true pastor will tell you, if I miss it, don't follow me. If I come and preach something else, apart from what I taught you, ignore me. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, Paul gave a classic example of this. In verse 11. But when Peter, Galatians 2, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Now, if you know who Peter was the Pope. Peter. A man like Peter. When Peter was healing the sick, Paul was killing them. In fact, Peter could say, I prayed for your salvation. Right? You? Where were you? Where were you when John baptized Jesus? Say, James, tell him. Do you know what is called Mount of Transfiguration? Oh, you don't know. Did you ever feel miracle fish before in your hands like this? You had experience. You had miracles and signs and wonders. But Paul said, I withstood him to the face. Because he was to be blamed. For before that sudden came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Let's take verse 14 together. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. Do you see that? According to the truth of the gospel. So this is not about your personal life. Never should you take people defending the faith as a personal thing. It's not personal. See, Paul was consistent according to what? The truth of the gospel. People are quick to always say, you are attacking this person. You are attacking that person. It's manipulation. It's manipulation. What you are doing is that you are defending the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He was to be blamed. Why was he to be blamed? Because his conduct deceived other people. So we have a duty to protect the faith. You know, in Nigeria today, somehow, there's a way, and I'm talking about we Pentecostal charismatics. Like I said earlier, it's as though if you want to be a Pentecostal, the ticket is know how to quote scripture out of context. Then you are a qualified charismatic. Just say, that is what the Spirit of God told you. Does it not amaze you that until about 1,000 years ago, the Bible was not in chapters and verses? So there's no way you could have quoted anything out of context. There was no comma, no full stop. So if you are going to read Ephesians, you will read Ephesians. You will never read Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. But just ever, the Holy Spirit said, Ephesians 2, 2. Because two of you, the Holy Spirit is dealing with verses that was not there when Paul wrote it. Are you following what I'm saying here? You have a duty. So in our climes, we have this thing. And it's so funny. That we think that a false gospel can only be preached by people that wear white garments. And have long beard. Though there's someone like that. Who is now reformed, but he now wears suits. Yes, long beard. You know? No. Something against the gospel can be done by a true man of God, like Peter. You know, and Peter didn't take it personal. He didn't do a series. Why you must not receive Paul? No. He didn't try to do that. Peter, in his last letter, acknowledged the revelation that God gave to Paul. You know why? It's not personal. Hallelujah. It's not personal. It's about the gospel of Christ. Listen carefully. A false gospel is so dangerous that it can have false converts. False converts. Like that fellow in Zimbabwe. He acknowledges all the deities. How could a man believe the gospel from his lips? Is it possible? I'm asking. Whoever he preaches to, look at what he believes. He believes that Jesus is one of the deities. So he acknowledges them. Then he preaches Jesus as one of them. How would he accept the gospel? He's likely going to be a false convert. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just like we bridge, well, come to Christ. Come to Christ. If you were looking for husband before, you'll get in Christ. If you are looking for wife, you get in Christ. A friend's friend was in Norway. I like to correct myself. And he's preaching. Come and receive Jesus. Jesus. Jesus Christ. You will get your visa. Nobody answered. You will get a high house. Nobody answered. That car that you don't like, a new car is coming your way. Nobody answered. So he called his host. What happened? People don't have faith. He said, no, they have everything that you are talking about. Say, should I just preach Jesus? Because it's in Nigeria. Here, generator is a testimony. You see generator in your house. Yeah, man. I was in a meeting in Singapore, 2008. It was a crude oil marketing conference. So we had these guys, we're now talking, because they were from India, so we're talking about generators. So I was talking, I said, See, Nigeria, we use generators a lot. They said, we use generators a lot. We're talking. I thought we were on the same page. I said, imagine I have, we use 3 generators. Said, yeah, wow. I said, 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, 1 at night. The guy said, yeah. So we're still flowing. If I had stopped there, we'll have been on the same page. I said, sometimes even my kids cannot sleep. I said, were you referring to your house? So what are you talking about? I said, you use generators in your house? I said, no, I was talking about our industry. I said, generators where you live? I said, let's talk about something. Let's talk about something, let's talk about something else. How should I change? So imagine, the gospel we preach must be universal. That even the man who has no physical need still needs the gospel. Hallelujah. We must protect it. You must put it the way it is. Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Protect the message. Preach it as it is. Hallelujah. You must protect it. Are you following what I'm saying? There was one guy. He's the choir leader. After choir practice, he's not told this guy. He said, look, you people, let's face facts. He was talking to he's the choir master. He has been in the church for long. Let's face facts. Is Jesus coming back? He wasn't joking. So I said, bro, don't say it, bro. Guys, he leave me. He said, did anything happen? He rose from the dead. He said, yeah. He said, brother, don't say that. I'm sure the guy, the lady wanted to marry was saying, yeah. Yeah, don't say sweetheart, don't say it. Let me say what I'm saying. You get the point. He doesn't even believe the gospel. Are you following what I'm saying? You have a duty to protect the faith. Is that clear? Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
You have a duty. Look at Philippians 3. I have two more places. Philippians 3. You have a duty, a responsibility to protect the faith. See, at the end of your life, I tell you in the morning, whether you are, there shall be a day called the end of your life. Say, no, I don't, Pastor, don't say negative things. Okay. There shall be one day. It will be the end of your life. Do you know, the most important thing about you will be what you did with the gospel. Not your talents. You don't need to be born again to use your talents. Like I teach you, you don't need to be born again to want to have money. From a child, when they ask you, what do you want to become? When you are young, you say, doctor. You say, I want to be a doctor. Why? Because we used to feel doctors will have a lot of money. Then you say, lawyer. What else? Later on, it became banker. In the 80s, banker was not so profitable. Then later, now, both doctor and lawyer, they go on strike. So even kids now, what do you want me to say? I want to be a millionaire. I mean, that's more straightforward. It's more straightforward than the doctor love story. In fact, some kids are also smart. They say, I want to be a pastor. It's true. So you don't need, see, the desire to have wealth and to be promoted and is just in man. You want, let me ask you, did you need a pastor to tell you when you were in primary 1 to be promoted to primary 2? Say, wow, when I went to church today, I saw the reason to move from GS1 to GS2. I thank God for His word. It's natural to man. That cannot be the fruit of the gospel. It's natural. How many of you were until you got born again that you desire to marry? Abba. In fact, from child, you were doing daddy and mom. If you lie that you have never done it before, God will forgive you. Didn't you do drama when you were young? And you talk like a big man. Come here! And you knew big man when you were young. So it has nothing to do with salvation. Are you following what I'm saying? You have a duty to ensure that that is not being preached as the gospel. That's not the gospel. In many ways, it's not the gospel. So let's open the word now. Philippians 3. This is Paul. verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, thereto, he says, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Let us mind the same thing. Oh, hallelujah. Say, let us mind the same thing. We must mind the same thing. Don't say, well, this is the way God is to me. He said, if God will reveal anything to you, he revealed the same thing to you. Look at this. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk also as you have us for an example. Let's take verse 18 together. For many, of whom I have told you often, pay attention. Of whom I have told you how often? Huh? Often. It is the duty of a pastor to keep warning you. Did you see it? Often. What did he say? And now I tell you, even weeping. Now I tell you how, weeping. It's not a trivial matter. What did he say? Come on, follow this. They are what? The enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction? Whose belly, their God is their belly. Whose glory is in their shame? Who mind what? Any preacher whose sermon is on materialism is an enemy of the cross. Said they mind earthly things. The fruit of the gospel for them are material things. Euro to euro. Next level. What's next level? It's poverty. That's making you think like that. Next level. Poverty. Hallelujah. I was sharing in Benin, was it 2 days ago? I told you the first service. I told them, I said, look at the ministry of Jesus. There were 3 miracles of provision. 3 spectacular miracles of provision. The wedding at the Cana of Galilee. The catch of fish, the draught, which is Luke 5 and John 21. And then the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Beyond those 2, you don't find any other miracle of provision. I said, none of these miracles has to do with faith. None. In fact, those who took the wine in the wedding, they didn't know how it happened. They didn't believe God. Let's believe God. That is water. We turn to wine, brother. Let's believe God. Let's begin to pray right now. What a ton. I'm not sure that till date they know. Those who ate the 5 loaves and 2 fish, did they know? There's a brethren, there are 5 loaves in this church now. And we have 5,000 men, minus the women. We're now going to say, God of heaven, as you rain manna in the Old Testament, let this 1 loaf become 1,000. Is very likely people that ate thought that they brought it from somewhere. Did you know that even when Peter walked on water, he mentioned faith. When he calmed the storm, he mentioned faith. But not in the miracles of provision. Not once. Nobody in the ministry of Jesus became a millionaire because Jesus taught him. See, I have a testimony. The economy of Jerusalem did not get better because Jesus was ministering there. Any gospel that's why you see this book, you must get it. You hear me? Faith in the gospel of Christ and material things. I taught it before. Now read the book. See, they mind earthly things. Said they are enemies. He said, what must we do? Did he say pray for them? Did he say pray? What did he say? Mark them. Mark them. Did he say pray? He said, I've warned you. I've told you about them. It's your duty. It's not good enough to talk about Christ. Say, no, let's just be positive. It's being positive to defend the gospel. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying. You must defend it. You must defend. We must not just preach the gospel, we must protect it. A man was asked on television, national television. They said, tell us something from the Bible. The person asking was a Muslim. Tell us something from the Bible. You want the whole world to hear. The man said, The one important message that the Bible has to say for the whole world. The man said, giving. No, I first, it could be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. You know, it's possible. He said, generosity. Huh? That when you stand before when you stand before God at the end of your life, what will be most important will be how generous you are. I said, Jesus. There's no point arguing scripture with this kind of person. He does not believe it. He doesn't believe it. So if you say, for those that desire the new, or desire the old, that's your business. They ask you on national television, what is the most important thing in the Bible? You say, giving. How else can someone misrepresent the gospel than that? So you must protect it. Don't, me, as I'm here, you must protect it from my own manipulation. It must remain the pure message. Are you following what I'm saying? Paul said, I won't, even with tears. What could make Paul cry? And you are not crying. Somebody say, give me $91 for 90 minutes. And you say, that's the revelation. You are sick. Paul heard that and he said, I'm crying. What have you done with the gospel? And he said, it's okay. It's okay. We can disagree without being disagreeable. This is not about agreement. This is about the gospel. Do you hear me? As you are learning the word, you learn discernment. It's not good enough to know right. You must know your right from your left. If it is not the gospel, it is not. If it is not Panadol, it cannot be. You know that? Are you there? We are wary of fake food. I want to call it fake. What do you call it? Fake canned meals, wary of fake drinks, but we say, let's leave the issue of the gospel. Anything that just has gospel, just hear it. Anything that they just put inside a bottle, drink it. Drink it. You will hear the angels singing to your ears. Are you following what I'm saying? So I have a duty to protect the gospel. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, and then 2 Corinthians 2. I'll see the last one, then we close. Are you there? Why do you think in this church and many other churches like ours, we spend hours to teach you? You know why? So that you can know your right from your left. I just preached in a church just a minute ago. And I was telling Pastor to come and said, did you notice that many of them didn't have Bibles? In fact, that I was quoting too much scriptures almost became a problem. You could see that they were stressed. How many now? In fact, at a point, the projector man stopped posting the scriptures. What's this? Is this a lecture? You get the point. Such men will not know their right from their left. You must be well drowned in the scriptures. So when someone comes, somebody comes and they say, you are blessed. They say, glory. Someone say, you will be blessed. Say, glory. Take your blessing, glory. Are you okay? Say no to one of them. To show that you have your senses are okay. Say no. No. I have been blessed 10 minutes ago. Is this making sense? You must protect the gospel. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I say, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's take verse 4 together. For if he that comes preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, for if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, not a spirit that you greet in the morning. Say, good morning, Holy Spirit. What kind of impression is that? Spirit of keyboard. So I said, shh. Spirit of God. He doesn't want to be grieved. What's this? On the day of Pentecost. People were there. Peter said, shh. He's moving. Whenever somebody brings that kind of spirit to you, check the spirit in the Bible. Is it the same? Don't laugh. Paul was crying. which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Don't endure things like that. Look at chapter 2. 2 Corinthians. Are you learning something? For we, not as many. See how often he kept bringing this thing. Let's take verse 17 together. 2 Corinthians 2. Let's go. For we, not as many, which corrupt the word of God. Listen to me. Listen carefully. That means in Paul's days, there were several people preaching another gospel. Paul will look like, it will look like he's just looking for trouble in his days. Right? Am I making sense? Because there were many. So there are many, watch this, which corrupt the word of God, and as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. I checked some versions. One says there are those who peddle the word of God for material gain. Some say there are those who market the gospel. To corrupt the word of God means to use it for material things. Let me say this carefully. Serving God is not for gain. The only time Paul mentioned gain for himself is 1 Corinthians 9, to win souls. Philippians 1:21, when he dies. Not one material thing. The preaching of the gospel is not for material things. And you must watch out. Did you hear what I'm saying? You must watch out. As a pastor, you must be. I once asked someone to preach for us years back. And I told him, I said, sir, I looked into his eyes. I said, sir, don't teach prosperity in my church. He said, we don't want to be prosperous. We don't want prosperity at all. Just teach who you are in Christ. We don't want any prosperity thing. We don't want any revelation of prosperity. Any insight about the wealth of believers. Don't give us any insights. We are okay. We don't want it. We don't want prosperity at all. We just want Christ. What did I mean? But I looked into his eyes. I'm the pastor. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? So you must protect the man. Number 3, and we close on that. We must preach the faith. We must protect the faith. We have a duty. And finally, we must practice the faith. So they practice the faith. Philippians 1:27. I'm closing here. We must practice the faith. So they practice the faith. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. What do we do? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer, and a mention in faith, which is doctrine. Be an example. Let it reflect in your lifestyle. If you are saying that the gospel is not for money, the gospel is not for this, let it reflect in your conduct. Now I tell you, they bash your car. What? Go polish. That's not reflecting in your conduct. They bash your car. It will pay you. Right? Especially if it's your car. But let your conversation reflect someone who does not have a love of material things. You can preach it. It's easy to preach. But when it affects you. Know there are people like that? If there's a problem in their job, you see it in their prayer life. What's happening? But I don't pray like before. I'm okay. It's fine. That's it. Okay. You know what I'm going through. Let it reflect that you are above earthly things. Let it reflect. You know that most of what causes strife in the churches are carnal things. People don't fight over our prayer life is not strong like before. We are not studying the word of God like before. It's either about a woman, a brother, money, contract, position. Let your conversation, that which becometh of the
gospel of Christ. Let me say this. Not just that, even in our conduct amongst people. The one time I saw a church leader, we're together, and someone did something to him, and the way I said, I know it is right in Lagos to talk like this. You're in Lagos. I say those kind of things. But where it is different is that you have the gospel. Don't let your conduct hinder the gospel. So I say, well, it's not about us, it's about the gospel. We're the ones preaching it. Are you following my point? We are the ones preaching in your office. Don't go and pull someone's downfall. Say it's favor. It's not favor. Don't say it's wisdom. It's not wisdom. It's gimmick. Did you hear what I'm saying? There are some people on campus. You cannot share textbook. You want to be first. And I say, the love of God is unconditional. Hallelujah. The love of God loves sinners. Hallelujah. God gave us is all we have is nature. Which nature? Is that his nature? You can't help people to succeed. Let your conversation be that which becometh of the gospel. Have you seen a people that pray so well and they are very mean? They are very mean. Come there for help. They say, I'm sorry. And they pray a lot. Check what they are praying about. Say, sir, I don't know. I know I should say, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. It's late. Oh, sir. Like I said, young man, it's late. Thank you. Please, that's the door. Use the door. After he has sent you away with a callous and mean heart, now says, on the last, only true believers. Or say, I love you more than anyone. You just lied. How can you claim to love God that you have not seen? And then you see someone like this. And callously. So I'm sorry. You can use the door. Let our conduct reflect this message. God loves man. Let it reflect in our lifestyle. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be blessed. We preach the faith. We protect the faith. Then we practice the faith. Put your hands and just bless the Lord. Thank you. Give him praise. Thank you.